Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This week on Up to 90, we discuss Vanilla Ice.
Ice, ice, baby.
Vanilla Ice, do you remember him?
Listen. Something, do, 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 do.
Someone got intense.
Ice, ice, baby.
Did you have a crush?
No.
No, I didn't.
Did you?
Jesus, were you crushing on anyone in the 90s?
Yeah, had a few crushes. Leonardo DiCaprio, liked him.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, I liked him for a little while.
I liked Ryan Philippe.
Whereas I'm more a brunette woman,
Ryan
but a couple
Philippe
of the blondies now
for so
now
long, I used to say Ryan Philippe. Let's just put that in the shk box.
Up to 90 with Emma and Julie. Oh, yeah.
Ryan Philippe is such a ride. And actually,
he is gorgeous.
When I was a teenager, let me tell you something. When I was a teenager, I used to go to Statoil before school. Actually, I tell a lie, I wasn't a teenager. I was in sixth class. I was 12.
Get your finger out of my face, bitch.
Right? Used to go to Statoil, okay? Statoil, for all the kids out there, used to be, it was before Topaz and before Circle K.
It was the cool petrol station.
So it was the first one, Statoil. So I go in when I was in sixth class and there was this fellow working there. He was a teenager and he was an absolute ride, and he was ginger. He was a ginger version of Ryan Philippe. Absolute ride. Guess who I see on the school run these days? My Ryan Philippe lookalike.
No, and I'm sure he's got kiddies now, does he?
Yeah, he does.
Does
so we're going to try and figure it out.
Everyone have fucking kids. Like, fuck off, everyone. Honestly, if you don't have kids, will you please tweet me? And we'll start our own little conversation because he
gave me a free timeout one day. I didn't want to say it. I fucking hate timeouts. Who likes timeouts? So I just said thanks because I fancied him. And then he was never in Stadol again. I think it must have been his last day or something. So I used to go in and have the chats with him. So I was mad for him.
Do you think he had to leave? It sounds like he had to leave. It sounds like he chatted up a schoolgirl one too many times and they were like, listen, we know that you look like Ryan Philippe. And he was like, it's Philippe. And they were like, whatever. But you have to leave. And also the 90s, of course, that was a great time because if your till was short in the 90s, did you ever work in a supermarket?
I worked in a newsagent's, all right, yeah.
But if your till was ever short, you'd have to, they'd dock your wages.
Oh, well, actually.
And one week in Super Value in Dingle, I kept happening to me and the girls in the office were just so tormented by me. But like one week, this poor woman came down, she was like white in the face and she was like, your till is down like €700.
Jesus Christ.
But I'd put in a few wrong zeros or something.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I worked in
so
a
newsagent. So it was only out like 70.
Agents.
But I felt that 70 that week.
I worked in Alex Kelly's in Rathfarnham, #spawn, and that was fine. But he used to tell stories. He was a real grumpy fella. He used to tell stories about it. He had another shop in Crumlin and how he caught somebody stealing it. And he's like, just fucking take them out the back and beat the shit out of them and all. Like trying to, I had no intentions of robbing from him. But another girl who we were like mates with in school, like not bezzy bums, but like, you know, these kind of people like you'd meet walking home and stuff.
Well, anyone you call your bezzy bum isn't going to be your mate. Do you want to be my bezzy bum? Sorry?
I'd be calling the cops if anyone said
that to
me.
Before. Bezzy bums.
No, but like we do have a tattooed on our fucking bums.
I know.
Bezzy one the, cheek bum the other.
But she worked in this place. I can't go into details. But she used to rob cigarettes from the place and credit and sell it to us. And sometimes just give it to us for free. She never got fired.
She remember all the times people credit come card. In and they'd be like, my card. Credit isn't working. And you're like, fuck. The system works. It's you that doesn't work.
But you remember you used to get the card and you'd scratch off and it'd have the number that you'd have to do. And now it's just like on a fucking receipt. It's real cash.
But is credit still happening?
Yeah, I buy credit. I'm still not there.
Are you still on credit, you little squirrel? Yeah.
Burner phone.
You're a gas. Honestly, when you tell, I'm not going to tell the world how much you have saved.
I don't know what's happening to me. I feel like I'm in a really good mood. I'm just like,
I'm getting nervous. I tell you, that's what's happening over here. Do you know what I was thinking? Do you know who makes me very nervous?
Oh my God. Go
People
on.
Reading the Bible. Because there's a lot of American students floating around these days and they're reading the Bible. Is that something they do? Obviously they do it in America. I don't know. But it does make me nervous.
Well, look.
Very normal girl sat beside me in a coffee shop and she asked to use my plug, which is not a euphemism. I was just sitting beside the plug.
Yeah.
And she asked me to put it in, but I didn't really... She was kind of telling me I was putting it in. You know, it wasn't like, would you know the way the Irish are so polite? Yeah. Like if an Irish person asked you to plug their phone in, they would literally be like just cutting a crosshatch pattern in their arm with self-flagellation. I'm like, I am so sorry for ruining your day and taking up your time and taking up your space with my life. But is there any chance at all?
Thanks a million. Possible.
If this doesn't suit you, just let me know. Now, look, it's totally fine, but is there any chance? And you're like, just fucking ask me. Could you plug? Yeah, grand. Now fuck off out of my life. But no,
why
so this girl was there.
Was
this
a step too far.
What? I'm not wasting a 5-year-old coffee and throwing it at some random man. Clutching a Bible, but it was actually a girl, so she was kind of telling me to put it in. So I was like, yeah, Grant. And then I noticed she was highlighting an old Bible. Maybe I mean, no judgment fiction. If that's what you're into.
Look,
but
if
it
you're
does
into God,
make me a little bit nervous.
You, but he's not real. So.
I am into God. Like, I'm a little bit holy. But I realised the reason I'm sharing this is because it's obviously my own bias. Like, it is. Do you know what I mean? Maybe it's a bias I have in me that, Jesus, what's up with reading the Bible? Like, it's, you know what I mean? It's probably a bit narrow-minded on my part. But it's just so unusual to see it.
What if I was in America
Dublin?
And say, like, a woman said to me, you know, say something good happened and she said, that's God now. That's God working. I'd be like, grand. But if I was in Ireland and somebody my age said to me, that's God working now, I'd be like, see ya. Like, an old woman could say to me, but if a young woman
said
to me, I would just
say. But I am all about the God. It's the Bible that I just find such a mad text to give any credence to.
Is that your
and
own
you
issue
know,
with
I'm
the
kind
whole
of,
thing?
But you know, I am. You see, I do have this bizarre. Well, that's not a bizarre reputation, but I suppose people find it a bit mad that I actually would. I would have a faith, like I would light candles, I would say prayers, all that kind of jazz. And I know we've discussed this before in the podcast, and you're like, what the fuck are you talking about, Julie? But it's interesting. It's obviously my own bias, is what I'm saying. That, like, you see someone with the Bible and the multicoloured highlighters. I'm like, what are you doing? It's
well,
just
Judy,
such a mad, it's a mad text.
Yeah,
it's a
know,
mad book.
Judy, maybe she's just
of crazy
like you,
tales.
A little bit into God, lighting a few candles, saying a few prayers. But maybe she's willing to do a little bit of the hard work, Judy, and read the Bible. Maybe she doesn't like reading
a
bit.
It's not a buffet. Is that what you're telling me? It's not a bit of this,
yeah,
bit of that.
A la carte, like, you're just doing all the nice stuff. Saying a few prayers, asking for stuff, light a few candles. Who doesn't like lighting candles? She's putting in the graft as well.
Well, because do you know what I want to do in the next couple of weeks? I probably is framed by the fact I was watching this fantastic documentary on Waco, which remember I was saying that I'd like to do it on the podcast, but we were saying a little bit too heavy, so let's just go for the obvious next choice, which is Vanilla Ice. Welcome to our thought process. We're erratic. But I think it was just within the context of someone who Like, I mean, so much of his power stemmed from his ability to, quote, read and interpret the Bible.
Yes.
And you know the way he claimed he was the Lamb of God, like the actual Lamb. And then things got all trippy because in the documentary, like, which, by the way, BBC, a little bit too much filler for my liking. But anyway, it's like they have like animations of him as a lamb, like God lamb. It was all a bit, that's, if you were listening to last week's podcast, that was also when I thought I was being gassed. So let's just move on. Okay.
Me first, you first.
Well, we can both go. We have to do an ad.
Yeah.
We're in somebody's podcast now. We are in a podcast.
Whose fucking podcast?
Somebody's podcast from the Head Stuff Network, because we're going to tell them about our podcast.
Oh, yeah, Dublin Podcast, yeah. So I'm PJ Gallagher.
And I'm Suzanne Cain.
And this is sort of an ad for the Dublin Podcast.
Stick us in your ears if you haven't done so already. What do we do on our podcast?
I don't know, but we've done it 111 times and there's loads more of it to come.
Dublin, the podcast.
Yeah, Suzanne's fucking sound. I'm a pain in the arse. It's a sort of a magical thing.
Factually correct.
Vanilla Ice.
Tell me about them.
So basically Vanilla Ice, let me tell you about Vanilla Ice. So Vanilla Ice was a young rapper.
Yes.
He was actually, to be fair to him, so he was originally from he spent a lot of time in Texas and Florida
okay,
as a young man.
To be fair.
And he used to dance in the club. So he used to dance in a couple of clubs. I want to find the name of the club now here. He used to dance in Miami, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this place called City Lights. And he was a fantastic dancer, really into the breakdancing, all that kind of crack. And he did kind of garner a little bit of attention because he was a good looking guy and people were like, who is this white boy who is,
and he was throwing the moves in the club,
throwing the moves, all the rest.
I'd say he was quite impressed because he looks quite built and quite tall.
Yeah,
and
he was
stuff,
a good looking guy. Robert Matthew Van Winkle, of course, is his real name, and he released an album, and he released an album in 1989, and in 1990 he released another album called To The Extreme, which contained his best known hits. He's a bit of a one hit wonder. Ice Ice Baby and Play That Funky Music. So,
oh, is that that
previous to that?
No, what song is that?
Play That Funky Music. It's a. He sampled Play That Funky Music.
Oh,
White
okay.
Boy.
Yeah.
So basically, his early life. Then, so he was born in Dallas, and he, as I said, he moved to Miami, etc. Had a couple of stepfathers along the way, and he said, which I really loved. So a couple of interviews that I watched with him, he was talking about how he was so affected by hip hop from a very young age,
right.
And what he loved about hip hop was he like Run DMC, all that, absolutely idolized them, because he was like, it was poetry. So that's what he loved, was poetry. And which was really nice in an interview, actually, he was talking about how like he wasn't good at school. He didn't feel he was good at English, but he just loved poetry, which I just thought was so interesting. And what was also interesting was people kind of just presumed, like he started like rapping, you know, doing rap battles and all that kind of crack, and people just presumed that like the black community hated him. Like, because here's this white guy kind of trying to, I suppose you could say, like, appropriate their culture and all that.
Yeah.
But he was really consistent in interviews. Not at all. He was like, I was so accepted. I was so used to playing to all black audiences. He actually used to support MC Hammer. Was supporting MC Hammer and all
that
and he was saying,
sense,
I don't colorize pop, like I didn't colorize music, you know, that wasn't the case. And it was only with his release of Ice Ice Baby and what's the other one called, Play That Funky Music, that he obviously got a little bit more successful, and that's when he started playing to white people. So he was like, until that point it was like black community all the way. He was supporting NWA, he supported Public Enemy, MC Hammer, as I said. So he was like,
I didn't know this at all. I thought like Ice Ice Baby was his debut single, and that was the start of his career. I didn't
realize
that.
Well, it was the first,
he
had been doing rap battles and all that kind of thing, but I think a lot of people presumed that he had been manufactured by the industry.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I thought he was manufactured.
Of the streets, had done his homework, like was of this world. So it was actually really lovely to hear him talk about the fact that like he was like, I had no issue with these guys. Like
a lot more respect from now that
yes.
you say that.
So what happened was SBK Records signed him, and they originally released, what is it, Play That Funky Music.
Yeah.
And that was the one that they wanted to push. So that was the A side.
Right.
Sent it off to all the radio stations. Was not happening. was not flying at all.
Okay.
Then the radio station started playing the B-side, which was Ice Ice Baby. Mm. And that's when people were like, really like that song, play that song. And that's basically how it became the first ever hip-hop rap song to go number one on the Billboard charts. So that was huge.
Oh,
so that, like, because, you know, and, you know, Vanilla Ice kind of talks about this. He's like, it did kind of change the game for everyone. So he was like, that's why I think, you know, people presume that, like, I was just kind of this guy who kind of like was, I'm paraphrasing here, but basically bandwagoning on this whole thing. But he was like, it kind of changed the game for everyone then. So it was like a good thing. And people like really support me because they knew it was like kind of, you know, my scene, my music, etc. But of course, when he got the paycheck, once he started to sell, he's had, like, he sold 160 million like albums, which is obviously huge. But, you know, once he got the paycheck, that's when he started, you know, to overexpose himself. So he does admit that the SPK records were really, they actually said after the fact, they were like, we made a mistake. Like, we overexposed him. He, you know, we kind of maybe overestimated his commercial capacity. Went off to do the Ninja Turtles movie. That was a low point.
Oh, God.
Did the Ninja Turtles movie with the ninja rap. Well, I mean, I say low point, but he got a million bucks out of it. And he was like, look, at that stage, I was just all about the moolah. He went on then to, do his own movie, which was called Cool as Ice. Absolutely panned, as you can imagine, by the critics, based on his life. But even I was actually watching clips from it, and I mean, I was literally chewing my scarf off. Like, it was just so bad.
Jesus.
Like, really, really bad.
I was surprised to hear that he was the first rap artist to go at number one, because I thought like Run DMC.
You would think that.
Because obviously they had the whole crossover thing, and obviously it is a bit fucking Aerosmith and stuff.
I mean, you know, you would imagine if I was the black community, I probably would be a bit fucking pissed off that, like, this, you know, white kid comes along and he's the guy who scores the first number one record when you think the likes of Run DMC. I mean, it's unbelievable that they didn't have a number one.
I just thought the kind of crossover into the mainstream had happened before that.
No. So then
so
also
kind of
in
the
19...
start of it.
Yeah. And then 1990, of course, as well, a big year for him with Ice Ice Baby, began an 8-month relationship with Madonna. And there was actually a great interview that he did on the Dan Patrick Show, because he had... in his later years, of course, as we know, he made a lot of money.
Clever old Madonna.
Got quite distracted. Got involved, you know, the sex, drugs, rock and roll. And he essentially kind of lost it all, really, you know.
Yeah.
And he ended up, like, you know, it's not the usual journey, but unfortunately it's like all too typical. Was doing too much partying, as he said himself. He talked about the 4th of July, actually. He threw a party in, I think it was, let me have a look. It was in the 1994. He threw a party. He'd had a couple of albums. They didn't do that well. Extremely Live and all that. It just didn't really work.
Right.
Became quite open about how he liked to smoke cannabis. People were looking at him as, okay, you're now a bit of a joke. And he lost his commercial value. But then, of course, his like old community were a bit like, okay, you've kind of sold out. So he was kind of falling between the two stools. So he did attempt suicide at a party that he threw on the 4th of July. He just said that he looked around this room of people and he realised that none of them would be there if it wasn't for the money. So that was a low moment. And then after that, he said he kind of turned himself around. He was like, look, the music isn't happening. So he went back to what was originally his first love, which was actually motocross racing. Got all into jet skiing and became the number six jet skier in the world. So he got all into these, like, kind of, you know, extreme sport. Well, I suppose jet skiing is hardly an extreme sport,
so
is it?
So it's a bit like Shane Lynch from Boyzone getting into the car racing, is it?
Well, I'll tell you what it's like to use a Boyzone. I'll give you a Boyzone analogy. So I'll tell you what it is like. So later in his career, he starts working on the DIY network. He actually had this really successful show called the Vanilla Ice Project, which revolves around DIY. Did really, really well. So it was on air season after season after season. Mm. And then he got involved in lighting. So Capital Lighting in Florida. They're also in New Jersey if you want to check them out. And he got involved with them and with these Vanilla Ice light fixtures in recent years. Mm. And in the ad, if you watch the ad, it is so cringe. He does actually say, "Lights, lights, baby." He does it. I know. Do you need a shower? Do you want a shower?
But it's catchy enough, isn't it?
Catchy enough, but ice now. So kind of similar to Keith and the whole tyres. You know, you're driving along the M50 and next thing you see Keith Duffy holding a tyre in the back of a white van. But sure, you know, as in at the same time, he's like, because actually in that Dan Patrick interview, which was absolutely brilliant, because he was asking him about the whole, like, because there were rumours that he had been threatened by Shug Knight on a balcony and that Shug Knight had like held him over the balcony, all that kind of crack. He was like, absolute rubbish. He was like, what happened? But I had to laugh because he was like, absolute rubbish. But then he told the story and you're like, it sounds still equally terrifying. But he's like, it's just what happened. He was saying that when he was in LA, that Shug Knight, he was in this hotel.
Right.
And he walked into his hotel room and Shug was already there with all the bodyguards. So he's like, the whole idea being, it's like, he was trying to tell me, look, I know where you're at, like, at all times. Like, I own this city. So he took him out on the balcony to have a chat, which, again, does not really, you know, it doesn't,
bit of
still a little bit disconcerting.
Bandersnatch, was it?
A little bit. And he was like, just so you know, you pay to play in this city. So if you want to play LA, like, you've got to give me money. Like, that's how it works. And Dan Patrick was like, and did you pay him? He was like, of course I did. Like, that's, but he was really nice about it. He was like, this is how the system works. Shug Knight, what a baddie. Such a dodgy one. And then he did talk as well about,
it's just like comedy,
there's just
isn't
something
it?
Really, I tell Dublin. You what, there's something very likable about Vanilla Ice. Like, he did the whole, you know, we went down the whole Dancing with the Stars you know, thing and all that. But even in interviews, even now, like, you know, he got married, had a couple of kids, but they were married for a considerable period. Like, they are since divorced, but they were married for a considerable time, had two little kids, did the whole family man thing. But in interviews, when he's asked about women, which I really like he's always been asked about Madonna, because of course he had this 8-month relationship with Madonna in 1990. But he talked about how, like, she came into, which we would totally believe, because, you know, referring back to our Madonna expert episode,
I know,
that we put together expert, a couple of weeks ago. She came back to him after a gig and was like, great show, into his dressing room. And he was like, and that night we were having cocktails. And when pressed, he's like, I will say no more. It's not gentlemanly. And I'm like, you know what? I respect that, Vanilla Ice.
I know, because, like, if he did a book, that would be like,
oh, two huge chapters. And yeah, he, like, because he did say, he was like, he recently did a show in, well, relatively recently, in the last couple of years, in Florida. And I think it was Florida. I'll have to double check that one. But one of his band were like, or one of his dancers was like, oh, Madonna's actually here. So he was like, oh, it's like, you know, it's mad, like, to see her or whatever, you know, after all this time. But I just was like, really respected that, because I was like, it's nice to see, like, he's not a sellout. Eminem, of course, has referenced him in some of his songs, as he does, you know, sagging him, etc. And again, like, Vanilla, like, he did attempt once, I think, to roast him back. But then he, you know, kind of stepped away from me. He's like, look, I think he's great. Like, I've no beef with him or whatever.
I think, like, you know, you can see how it would happen. You're slogging away at a few years at whatever your artistic craft is, and then you get a big opportunity and you've all these yes people around you who want you to do the big thing, so you make loads of cash. It must be very hard to make the right decision, and then you just make a few dodge decisions and do a couple of things that are a bit cheesy, whatever. I can totally understand how it would happen.
But you know what, though, he talks about, he's like, if I went back now, I would do the same thing. It's
really?
Like, I was a young guy, I was offered money. He was like, I don't. But he seems like somebody, he's a very centered person, that he was like, I was a young guy, I didn't come from much money, I was offered $1 million to do the Ninja Turtles. Like, he's still all Team Ninja, by the way. He refuses. I mean, it wasn't a bad decision. You might say credibility wise, it was questionable, but financially speaking, it wasn't a bad decision. Cool as ice, 8% Rotten Tomatoes. He couldn't care less. Like, he doesn't seem to take himself that seriously.
Yeah.
And I think even when I looked at, I kind of started looking at him, like, I had this presumption that he was this embittered guy. You know, like, Eminem had come along and kind of stole his crown as, like, this exciting new thing in the rap scene, etc. But actually, when I was looking at him and the different interviews, he didn't come across like that at all. Like, seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah.
And even, obviously, people do ask him, like, you know, do you kind of regret some of the decisions he made, etc.? and, you know, yearn for what was or think of what might have been, or, you know, do you look at new stars now and feel a bit jealous? And he's like, I have a life. I have a real life. Like, that's what he keeps saying. It's like, I have a family. I work, you know, I do good, honest work, and I have a life. Like, I'm happy with what I have. So I was like, God, that's actually really nice to hear. It's so refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually, one of the things, of course, as you can imagine, when they came out with Ice Ice Baby, they had not paid any royalties to, of course, David Bowie and Queen. Mm. So they hadn't paid any royalties for Under Pressure. So obviously then what they had to do was, yes, so they had to cough up. And he did. I had to laugh because one of the interviews, and I found the original interview and I was about to make a comment like, seriously, cop the fuck onto yourself in Ice. But then I found another interview where he was like, in the previous interview when he's young and immediately after the fact, and they're saying, like, what would you say to people who think you've sampled this from Queen? And he was like, no, because like their one's like, and our one's like, and like, I was sitting there like, come on. He's like, the hook's completely different. But when he's asked about that later, he's like, I was a jackass. Like, obviously we stole their song. Like, that's what it was. But then he said, he was like, ultimately it wouldn't have been an issue if it hadn't been so successful, which is probably true as well.
Yeah.
So what he did was, which is such a Michael Jackson move, he went off and he bought the song. So, you know, the way Michael Jackson bought the Beatles records.
Yeah.
So Michael Jackson, when you're buying your Beatles album, like, Michael Jackson's estate are the ones profiting
that. Can we just talk about Michael Jackson for a second? Do you remember his sons?
Blanket.
No.
Did you see Blanket's emerged from the blanket? Did you see him recently?
No, has he?
He's got like a bob. He's like fully grown, like I'd say 17-year-old.
Oh, jeez, I'll have to have a look at that. I didn't mean the sons. I meant the nephews, 3T. Do you remember them? What was the song they did with Michael?
Well, let's look it up.
Do, because I want to have a little sing song.
Because I tell you, so basically Vanilla Ice, so he talks about how he bought the song. It cost him $8 million, but he's like, I've no beef with Queen or David Bowie or any of these people. He was telling me how like he's never met David Bowie, but he met Brian May, who of course is from Queen.
Yeah.
And he was saying, oh, you know, like he came to one of my shows and he was like, that was great, blah, 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 I loved it. And you're like, well, of course he loved it because he owns the fucking song now. But yeah, so basically it cost him $8 million. But Jesus. He bought the sample rights and he's all about like, listen. And then I had to laugh. He was like, it was a tough lesson, but like it did kind of, it basically like it gave me a lot of lessons when it taught me a lot of lessons when it comes to like publishing rights, etc. And you're like, that is one expensive grind skill.
But you know, it sounds like that he liked the creative stuff and the music, but his real passion was money. So that's why I think he's like, well, I'm not, I don't mean that in a bad way. So that's why he's like, look, that was great crack, but, you know, I have a life.
Well, he wasn't very prolific when it came to the music. Like, he, you know, talks about how much he loved rap, etc. But, like, you would see a lot of comments even on the music video. Like, I mean, he kind of became a parody. He was a real 90s parody with the clothes and the shoulder pads and the pants and the hair. But you couldn't, I mean, you couldn't bust. I mean, everyone, like, you know, Kevin Bacon to this. What is this 3T?
Do you remember this song?
No.
Wait, I'll get into it now.
Come on, let's. Oh, God.
Tell me why. Do you remember? Why do Mondays?
I love the way Emma has the song in her hand, but she's like, why play it when I can sing it? Was that with 3T?
Yeah.
3T, if you're listening, get in touch with someone you trust.
They could definitely do a charity.
But he did become a bit of a parody of himself. But ultimately, like, sure, he was the man. And the fact that he went out with Madonna just makes him a total 90s king.
Yeah.
And like Kevin Bacon did a great take off of him. And like, you know, Saturday Night Live and all this. Like, he was quintessential Mr. 90s.
Oh, big star.
But he's like 51.
I'm like you though. I do quite like him.
Oh, you couldn't but like him. And like the fact that, like, you know, he's like, I do good, honest work. And like, again, that quote, which I really liked, he said, you know, he was talking like, he's like, because somebody asked him in an interview, like, are you bitter? Mm. He's like, how can I be bitter? I've got a beautiful family and I've got a real life.
Yeah.
So that's it. Like, he just, you know, made hay while the sun shone. as my mother used to always say, took the few paychecks, he did the Ninja Turtles, he did Cool as Ice, which is 8% rating on Rotten Tomatoes and is quite possibly the worst film you will ever watch. He does not give a fuck.
Yeah.
He owns Under Pressure.
Oh, yeah, well, sure,
he owns Under Pressure.
Well, Vanilla, and I had to laugh because to come on the podcast
just before we finish up in the fastest recorded podcast episode ever. I was in work today because my day job, I'm a freelance teacher, in case you didn't know, by day, living my life as a double agent. But I was a little bit overwhelmed. It does happen sometimes.
Right.
I was a little bit overwhelmed in school today. A lot was happening, trying to teach the class. A lot of things going on. A lot of lists going missing. A lot of children having the audacity to look for their results back. I mean, I'm sorry, you only did your exam 6 weeks ago. Give me a chance.
Yeah.
But I had to laugh because I had a really lovely group at the time. And I said, look, I'm sorry. Okay, it's just that I'm a little bit under pressure at the moment. And so I heard some noise from the background and I was like, listen, just if you're going to do an impression on me, please just do it on your own time. Leave the comedy to me, because they have been known, this group, to do a few impressions of my high pitched, grating, nasal, you know, monotone fucking, is it even a voice? I don't even have a word for it. And they were like, what? No, I wasn't doing an impression. I was like, it's fine if you were. That's absolutely fine. New year, new us, but just leave the comedy to me. Okay. I'm very busy. I'm under pressure. And they were like, no, we were just singing the song. And I was like, fair enough. Good point. Well made. Under pressure. We should actually, will we play out on this? Do we have any requests, anything to ask of our audience, our listeners, before we finish up?
Get in touch.
We haven't heard from a few people for a while. Skiving and diving, if you're out there. What happened to Dave of the pink shirt? Do you remember lovely Dave? He was one of our first champions. Dave, are you all right? Are you under pressure, Dave? Imagine, though, going off in one about teachers are human too. You're doing an impression of me, that's okay. But let's move on. And they were like, we're just singing the song.
Get over yourself, miss.
Do you remember Jedward's take on this?
Yeah.
Jedward had to pay money to Vanilla Ice. That's where the world is now. I've been Julie J.
I've been Emma Louise Dorn.
Oh, is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Emma is that Louise what's Dorn. Happening?
Emma D. I've been Emma D. Julie J and Emma D.
Julie J and I've been Julie J.
I've been Emma D.
Julianne Mary is what I took for my confirmation name, but we really need to wrap this podcast up now.
Goodbye.
What was your confirmation name?
Josefa.
On that note, I knew it was. I just wanted to end on a no. Okay, bye, guys.
See ya.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.